Every once in a while, I find myself getting caught up in listening to the lessons themselves. And sometimes I even forget about the prayer that precedes them. So I want to review with you the prayer that we did read. And it was important for me because I think it states where we need to look in terms of our own well-being. Simply put, O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may have the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I recommend this as a prayer that you might want to consider using daily, because I think it opens for us the mystery of God's presence in so many different ways. The interesting part to me is the gospel lesson talks about three wise men who were not Jews, who were from a foreign land, and they wind up coming to King Herod and telling King Herod that they were following the star of the new king of Israel. And as they did that, unfortunately, the king became frightened, intimidated, and was very concerned, and he called all those people together to say, what's going to happen? Where is this birth going to take place? And they respond, in Bethlehem. The interesting part to me is that then the three wise men go on to Bethlehem at the request of Herod, and they go with the intention of being present with the birth of Jesus Christ, the young child. They follow the star, they wind up at the place where the child is living with Mary, his mother. And the interesting part to me is, remember this, that all three of them are not Jews, but they came to a Jewish family. And they opened their gifts of gold, incense, and frankincense and myrrh, and were humbly kneeling at this new child who they said would be king. The interesting piece, of course, always for us, is that they had a dream about going back to Herod, and they discovered that that wasn't a good idea, and they went home a different way. Some of you may not know, but the massacre of innocents was what took place as a result of the fear of Herod, the king, who had children, infants to 2 years old, killed all males. This is a way of protecting him from having this saint or this new king coming to the reality. Fortunately, the story goes on to say that they understood also, and they took flight to Egypt for a period of time until it was safe to return, so that their son Jesus Christ, our Savior, was saved. In this story, there is this very, unfortunately for me, too many parallels to what's happening in our midst today, that we might find some joy and some hope and some strength in faith and relationships with one another, And yet there seems to be this force that is trying to frighten and put fear in our minds. This is the real challenge that we as Christians face. And the interesting part is, the reason why I wanted to make sure that you understood, the three wise men were not Jews. They were not part of this faith that we are a part of. But they recognized the gift that God gave to this world. And the interesting part to me is, so many people find that there's differences in Christian attitudes and churches. And yet, the differences are not so much based upon the belief in Christ Jesus, but rather sometimes the interior ways of thinking that individuals have. The separation of the Christian church is well known and well understood. But we're called at this time to come together, to stand with one another. Because in fact, through this gift, we find dignity in our world again. And this is a critical issue for us, because we, as baptized Christians, and as most Christians do, they do respond when are asked. Will you respect the integrity of every individual? Everyone, their integrity. It's not about how they act. It's about respecting the integrity that they're entitled to. And sometimes, if we're able to face our own fears and get past our fears to the sense of joy, which we've talked about, in the birth of Christ, in the celebration of life, that we begin to bring something different to the table with one another. If we are able to stand in joy, much like Paul was responding to the Ephesians, that they had this real sense of joy and celebration in faith, and he was honoring their blessings, honoring their blessed. So we too have the task of turning ourselves around, because we need to begin to understand that all of us together are filled with integrity, that we're filled with the God's love of the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ. That should be the model for our gift daily. And that's why I say the prayer itself speaks to me in a way that I think is really critical for us to understand. It's hard to believe that we've gotten caught up in all of the fears and all of the frustrations and all of the sort of tentacles of trying to push us away from the fact that we are believers in God and lovers in Christ. As we celebrate the second Sunday of the birth of Christ, may we be looking forward to the depth of love that we find in him and in God present, that we might find in ourselves the ability to turn around in love and with integrity to others. This day, this worship, this celebration of the Eucharist, this joyful singing of praise to the King, we need to take heart that to become real lovers of God is our first mission in life. And our second is to offer our thoughts of integrity for all people. May we find that blessing. May we find that presence of God in our daily life. And I offer this as a prayer that may help some of you guide your way to the life of peace, love, and hope. Amen.